Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hi everyone, welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and the Savvy Dentist Podcast. So glad you can join us here today because we're having a fantastic conversation about how to get the most out of the right-hand person on your team. Now that right-hand person may be a practice manager, it may be a business partner, it may be a receptionist, it doesn't really matter. But what we know is if you've got a great relationship with that right-hand person, the person that helps you get stuff done, then you're going to achieve your goals much faster than you would otherwise. Now my guest today is Melanie Thompson. And Melanie is the person who sits alongside me in our business. She's the person who I turn to get things done. She's the person that takes my ideas and implements them. And on top of that, she's also the person that sits with many of our practice owner clients to help them work with their receptionist, their practice manager, their business partner, so that they can achieve their goals much faster too. Now, there's not a day goes by that I don't get a message from one of our clients along the lines of the fact that Melanie's helped them achieve so much by getting that relationship with the right-hand person really firing on all cylinders. Most people might not realize, though, is Melanie has an incredible business pedigree of her own. Her background is in HR, and she ran her own business for 20, 30 years in that field. So she knows how to get the most out of people. She knows how to build those working relationships really well so that the business really flourishes. And of course, those results come much faster than ever before. So in this conversation, we cover a lot of territory. Melanie is going to share with you the things that she talks about when she's working with dental practice owners so that you can take those things into your practice and apply those lessons and get results faster too. I really hope you enjoy this interview because there is a ton of gold in it. Please listen to it with a pen and paper handy, take some notes, and you'll want to listen to this episode two or three times because there's so much value that Melanie shares in this conversation that you're just going to want to listen to it over and over again and make sure you apply all the lessons from it. But for now, I really hope you enjoy this conversation with Mel. She's an absolute gem. She shares freely and openly, and I guarantee you that you're going to get a ton out of this. So here's Melanie. Mel, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. How good is this to have you here?
I know, it's great, isn't it? It feels really weird for me, Jesse, because I'm normally the one that's organising the guests and giving them a bit of a rundown on how the interview will roll out and what they need to expect. And I actually had to go back and read that email for myself this morning. So, yeah, it's good to be here.
Yeah, well, I promise no surprises, okay? We won't deviate from the process just to make sure we keep it nice and clean and simple. Mel, you work in our business, Savvy Dentist, and you've got a couple of roles, but notably what you're really, really good at amongst many things, but specifically helping practice owners work with their practice manager so that they get the most out of that experience, they get the most out of the role, and so on and so forth. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of that, how important do you see it the practice owner has someone as a right-hand person to really achieve the best results?
Oh, look, it's absolutely critical that there's a really well-trusted, what I would call a plus one person in the business. And there's a few reasons for that. I think the most important one is that the owner can't implement everything. The owner can't be everything. And so it's important to have that one person you can trust to implement things in your way, using your voice and delivering your vision. It eases the pressure on the owner and it'll make things happen a lot faster. I think too, a plus one has some peripheral vision around what's going on in the business. Some things that the owner may not see, some things the owner may not hear, or maybe the owner doesn't want to hear, but certainly the plus one can be that nice conduit between the team, the patients, and the owner. And I think that's really important.
Yeah. I agree with all of that, Mel. And just for the sake of defining what a plus one is, most people might think of it as a practice manager. Does it have to be a practice manager?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to be a practice manager. it really has to be someone that you trust to implement the way that you want implementation to be done. So it could be a key person that works at reception. It could even potentially be a partner. You may have a partner in your life that works in the practice that may be the best person to be the plus one. It also could be a person who does multiple roles, who's been there quite some time. They may do reception, DA work. It's really about how you feel about that particular person and not the role they play in the business. It's about having trust and great communication.
I really think that's key as well. But let's get into some of the specifics around that, because one of the things that you and I observe, and as I said, you're really at the coalface of this. You work with a lot of the owners and the clients that we have to help them get the best out of their practice manager. But equally, you work with a practice manager or the plus one, I'm using that word interchangeably, to get the most out of the owner as well. And there is a two-way street there. So I'm curious to ask you, in the work that you've done, what are some of the key things that you think separate the practice owners and the practices that do really, really well compared to those that kind of go okay?
Yeah, sure. That's a really good question, actually. I think it's about, well, there's a few things. I think it's really about communication and clarity. So with that plus one person, there needs to be a situation where we drop the mask, to use a phrase that you've coined, to drop the mask. It has to be a person that you trust and you feel you can be transparent with, because ultimately that person has to deliver on your goals. So the difference really between a great performing practice and one that may be performing in a mediocre way is the communication between that plus one person and the owner. I think that's really important. There needs to be a lot of clarity, and there needs to be time together. You do need to block out that communication block where you can sit down, the two of you, and nut out, okay, let's look at the bushfires that are taking place. We've all got bushfires. But also let's have a look at what's being developed and delivered that's going to push the practice to where we want it to be. And that's talking about performance of the practice.
There's quite a few little threads there I'd like to pick up, but I'm going to start with the clarity one, that particular thread. And when we talk about clarity, what specifically do you think we need to be super clear about? And then secondarily, why are we not clear sometimes?
Yeah, sure. That's a bit tricky. Look, clarity really is around understanding and knowing. So the clarity piece for me, what I see take place in practices is that there's clarity around what the owner wants delivered and what that vision looks like and what good performance looks like. And sometimes there's a lack of communication about that. So there's no clarity around, well, as a plus one, I want you to deliver X, Y, Z. I know that you're doing a great job as a plus one when I see A, B, C all lining up and coming together and we achieve X, Y, Z. So it is about being really specific about what good results look like and the parameters that you can use to achieve those results. And that really comes down to how you can spend money, what rostering looks like, and those types of day-to-day functions. Does that make sense? The clarity, it's really important. If you don't know what you're supposed to be delivering, it's very hard to deliver it.
Yeah. And why do you think clarity is sometimes hard to achieve? Because sometimes as the owner, they might think that they're being clear, but as the recipient or the plus one, you sometimes think that you know, but there's sometimes a bit of a breakdown. There's something gets lost in translation. So, A, why do you think that happens? And then, again, in the work that you do, what tools and what processes have you helped practices implement to bridge that gap?
Sure. I actually think that it doesn't happen because of a lack of time. Time isn't being invested in that communication piece.
Yep.
So when you're able to sit down and have a cup of coffee and a conversation, and you may have blocked out an hour and a half and you know you've got an hour and a half, then you can, the conversation can wander. You can have conversations about, okay, here's my agenda, these are the things we need to talk about, and then you've got other things that will just come up. And so it is about investing time in the relationship. and making sure that nothing implodes on that time. Mm. So making sure it's blocked out at weekly and it's maintained. And I think preparation, if you're going to be taking the time to sit down and have some good, decent conversations, then everyone or both parties need to come to the conversation prepared. So it is about the owner knowing, okay, what do I want to talk to my plus one about? And the plus one knowing, okay, here's my agenda. These are the things I need to chat about. But also these are the other things that I can see that are coming down the pipeline that actually might be troublesome for us. Or there's a great opportunity for us. But it really is having the time to talk those things through. A 10-minute conversation each day in the corridor in between patients or while you're scoffing down your lunch really doesn't cut it as a good communication piece.
No, I totally agree. And I think what I see happening quite regularly is practice owners having exactly that. Well, they're trying to eat their lunch, throw a sandwich down their throat. They're trying to at the same time answer questions about this, that, and the other. And I agree, it doesn't work. So, Mel, let's just shift gear for a second because I understand really clearly we've got to make time for communication that's got to be quarantined. And we've got to have some structure to that. We've got to make sure that there's an agenda. Everyone knows what the outcomes are. In addition to that, from the roles perspective, we need to know what a good outcome looks like. We need to know what expectations are. And everyone needs to be on the same page around that. One of the things that I know you're really passionate about and you talk about regularly is delivering on behalf of someone else, making sure that their vision is created or turned into reality. You're also really conscious of reputation management and understanding the role of the plus one in protecting that. Can you just speak to those points for a second? Because I think people listening to this podcast would really benefit from hearing your thoughts and perspective and the work you do in that area.
Yeah, sure. I am really passionate about that. You're right. I think it's really important with a plus one to have buy-in. So when I talk about buy-in, I mean being willing to deliver someone else's vision and being willing to understand the language and the thinking behind the practice owner. So the more you understand about the practice owner and what they want to achieve and how they think about things, the more you can predict what their decision-making would be. And what happens then is you get a voice, you get an automated sort of voice in your head that says, oh, okay, I know what Jesse would say in this situation, or I know what Jesse would be thinking. So that's the way I need to deliver. So when you're a plus one, the role is to really deliver someone else's vision and to deliver it well. And to do that, you need to buy in and you also need to understand what their language is, what their thinking is. And protecting reputation is really important. So, for example, if we're handling a difficult situation, I'd be thinking about, okay, what would Jesse be thinking now and what would he do? And that's the way that I would try and replicate my solution to that problem. So it's about taking on the thoughts and the thinking and the understanding and the language of the owner and using that when you're out there representing the owner and the owner's business. It may not be in line 100% of the time with the way that, for example, a plus one might think or I might think, but that's not the issue. The issue is that you have a job to do and part of that is delivering on behalf of someone else. And if you really buy into the vision of the business, that's easy. It's just done by osmosis. You pick up on thinking and language the more times that you spend with someone and the more times that you are locked away in communication, you pick all that stuff up by osmosis, but it's really valuable.
So you're talking about buy-in, and I agree buy-in is really critical. And I want to ask you how to create buy-in. Do you think that it can be created or is it that you're just aligned or not?
Well, you know, that's...
It's a tough question, I know.
Thanks for that curly question.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
Yeah. Look, I love that question because I believe buy-in can be created, but I also believe there has to be will.
Mm.
So if someone is willing to buy in, then the buy-in can happen and you can create it. If there's no natural coercion or ability or desire to buy in, then I don't think you'll ever get it. And I actually think it's worth asking the question, do you want to buy into my vision and what I'm trying to deliver here? And if your plus one says, yes, I get it and I want to be part of it, then that's great. If the plus one says, I'm not quite sure what I'm buying into, then you can create it by explaining the vision, spending time communicating the vision and what good vision delivery looks like. But there may be a point, and I recognise that not everyone has the capacity to buy in.
Okay.
So it may not be natural. For some people it will come really naturally, which is lovely. For others, the owner will need to work a bit harder for it. And there may be times when there's just not the capacity to buy in. And that may be because they just really see the role maybe as a come in, do it, go home sort of job. And they're not willing to say, well, what's here that I can contribute? How can I make a difference? What can I carve out here for me that's long term that I can enjoy? So I do think you would get to a point in some relationships where buy-in was going to be difficult or almost impossible. And I think you'd need to cut that away.
Yeah. Well, and I think
I'm a bit of a cutaway person.
Well, I am a bit too. And I think the thing with cutting things away or cutting, I hate to say this, but cutting people away is it's not a reflection on whether that person's a good person or a bad person, but it's about fit and alignment and all those other things, right? Because if we're not in alignment, then it feels like we've got one person or two people or three people all rowing together. And then the other person sitting there passively, or even worse, rowing the opposite direction. And so I think getting that alignment is really key.
You hit on a great point there. I think that you can have a poor performer that you can tolerate in certain roles for a certain amount of time. But I talk about cutting away quickly with that plus one, because in that plus one role, you don't have the time or the energy to have someone there that's not performing. The longer you have them there, the less you're going to achieve and the more painful it becomes if they're not succeeding. And that works both ways. I mean, plus ones will be astute enough to know when it's not working well. And you'd want them to be asking questions. How am I tracking with this? I think questions are really important to work out if there's buy-in. If you've got a plus one that is asking you questions, how am I going with this? What do you want that to look like? What do you want me to do with this particular problem? What are you thinking around this particular problem? What's your first thought about this? Do we need to sleep on this? If a plus one isn't asking those sort of questions, they're not buying in to your vision because they're not wanting to learn how you want something delivered.
Yeah, I think that's actually really, really valuable. So, ladies and gents, if you've just tuned in, we're having a conversation today with Melanie Thompson, who works in our office helping practice owners and practice managers, or plus ones, as we're calling them today, anyone who's in that support role, that right-hand person, to really get the most out of that working relationship. Mel is an absolute expert at this, and what I haven't articulated on this particular show is Mel's got a very strong HR background, having run her own business in that space for years and years and years very successfully. And so what we're tapping into is decades of experience and wisdom, and I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to that last section that Mel articulated, because I think if you can take note of that and implement it with your plus one, it's going to make a tremendous difference. So Mel, I want to ask you, are plus ones born or are they made?
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm deviating from the script, aren't I? Sorry.
I'd like to think that they're made, because I really think, I do think a great number of people could be great plus ones. Now, not everyone wants to be the rock star. Not everyone wants to be the person on stage, the face of the business, or the person that's front and center with a practice or interfacing with patients all the time. And I remember seeing a great series on the ABC, and it was actually about sidemen and the sidemen and women who for decades had been working, you know, with some of the best rock stars on the planet as their sidekick. And they were so good at that that they could sing on an album and you could not tell that it wasn't Mick Jagger.
Wow.
His sidekick was, he'd worked with him for 20 years and his sidekick was so good. And they'd done it before. The show was exceptional. So I would like to think that sidekicks can be created, can be moulded, and I really do think they can. But there would be some really typical sort of skills that a sidekick needs. And I think one of them is that you don't need to be the rock star.
Yeah.
You have to be the sidekick and do some of that dirty work. And I love getting my hands dirty and doing some of that nitty-gritty stuff in the background, organising stuff. If you're really good at organising and you can have that voice of the owner, then, you know, there's some great benefits with being a sidekick and a plus one. So, yeah, I'd like to think they can, to answer your question, which I haven't done yet, is I'd like to think that they can be moulded, that there would be a few skills that you'd really need to be looking for to make sure that you've got someone you can mould.
Okay, so let's talk about those skills or those attributes that make up a great plus one. We spoke about the willingness to be the sidekick and to not want to be front and centre. What other particular skills or attributes or things do you think a really good plus one possesses?
Yeah, that's great. I actually think being, well, there's a few things, but being able to listen well, listen properly, listen to what's being said is really key, because if you're going to be communicating with a plus one as an owner and you're going to be expressing an opinion or giving some instructions, you want that to only have to happen once. So you don't want to have to go back repeating yourself. So listening is a really important skill. And I think executing, being able to go away and make things happen. And that may mean really being quite good at time management, being able to fit a lot into the day. So listening, executing, being great at time management, and having really good, I think, conversational skills. Because really, in a plus one role, no matter what industry you're in, you're going to have to talk to people on behalf of the owner. So, you know, if there's a refit or a rebuild, you might be talking to builders, project managers, designers, etc. You might be talking, you know, to employment agencies. You might be assisting with interviewing new team members. You may be, you're talking to suppliers. You may be actually even managing some of the personal things in someone's life. So communication, the ability to be welcoming, cheerful, and come across as professional on the telephone, that's really important too.
Yeah.
Have I given you too many?
No, I think that's a really good list. It's very comprehensive. And I think they're all the things that you do intuitively. Well, maybe not intuitively. I shouldn't assume that. You do all of those things. Did you learn those things or did you have some of those skills intuitively?
I actually think I went into self-employment in my early 20s and I think I just had to do it. So I can't say there was a point where I went out to purposely learn those skills. I think when you're working for yourself, generating your own income, you need to phone someone, you phone them. You need to organise something, you organise it. You're on a deadline, you need to deliver for clients, you just do it. And I think that pressure really just pushes those skills to the forefront. I don't actually think you're really conscious of it at the time. But I love talking. I mean, anyone who knows, you know, all our clients know, anyone who knows me, anyone who knows us, they all know that I love talking. So I love talking on the phone. I could be on the phone with people all day. Yeah. I love it. I love being on Zoom. I love being on the phone. So, yeah, that comes natural.
Well, you do that well. You do that very well. I wanted to ask you, Mel, look, again, as you work with clients, as you work with dentists, as you observe lots of things, is there anything that surprises you? Is there anything that you kind of go, oh, I didn't anticipate that, or actually, you know, I thought this, but it was actually that? Is there anything that you've observed in this plus one practice owner relationship that you've gone, wow, that I didn't quite think it would be the way it is?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. I actually think the thing that probably surprises me the most is, which is a good thing, it's some owners' ability to get a plus one relationship going. Like I actually think I've seen some really good plus one relationships develop and they've been instrumental in pushing the practice along. And I think one of the things that came up for me a few months ago when I was on a call with some clients and a plus one was that the client said to me that they actually attributed their mental health, their capacity to feel happy in their business to the plus one. And I thought that was a really beautiful comment. And it stopped me in my tracks. And I said, well, let's just revisit that for a minute, because I think what happens is plus ones get rolling along and we don't go back and say, hey, thanks, you know, appreciate it. Sometimes we don't have time for much of that. So in that moment, I said, oh, okay, let's put the brakes on. I want to go back and revisit that. And what the client was saying was that he was trying to do everything himself, thinking he needed to do everything himself because he was the best person at it. And it was when his plus one just said, oh, look, you're driving me crazy. Just stop it. Give me that. I want to do it. And as they developed trust and he handed over more and more things in his personal life and in the business life that the plus one then went on to organize, he started to feel much less stressed and he started to be able to think about the business long term instead of having his brain full of what's happening tomorrow, what's happening Thursday, Friday, thinking about the very short term actions that needed to be taken. But once he was able to delegate some tasks across to his plus one, his brain emptied out a little bit and he was able to go, oh, wow, I'm actually thinking much clearer, much better, and I can think more long term because I'm not worried about what the roster looks like next week or are we going to be hiring that person before Christmas. He said, I don't have those worries. And so he was able to focus on other things and be a little bit happier when he got home from work, which was really
That's
good.
A massive thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, there can be great benefits. I've seen some really good things come from those plus one relationships where the owner, it's a win-win situation, but the owner definitely is a winner from it and so is the plus one.
So I wanted to ask you, Mel, because there'll be people listening to this podcast probably driving their car on their way to work or on their way home from work or whatever. I wanted to ask you, for people listening who think, wow, I'd really like to develop that kind of relationship with my plus one, I don't quite have it now. How do you begin the process of finding how to build that relationship?
Sure. Yeah, that's a good question. I think it needs to be verbalized. I think that to really cement that relationship, the owner needs to take the plus one out for a coffee away from the business, not sitting in the lunchroom or in one of the surgeries. It's really about taking the plus one out to a different location and saying to them, look, I really want us to talk about how we can work better together and I'd love us to go out for a coffee and just talk through that. And I think at that coffee, it's great to just be able to say, hey, look, I've listened to this podcast and I really want to make our relationship stronger and I really want to know what makes you happy and what makes you tick and I want you to understand what makes me tick and I want us to work together for the betterment of the business. So let's try and do that. And then it's really about blocking out time to sit and talk together.
Yeah.
The owner needs to drop the mask and so does the plus one, and it needs to be a really transparent meeting every week about what's working, what's not working, how can we fix it, what can I do to make things run the way they should be. It's not going to happen overnight, but you'll find having those regular blocks of time together is going to be really important, and telling the plus one, hey, I want us to rock. I want our relationship to really rock. I really think we can do this. And I think that's really how you start the conversation is to get out of the practice and meet in a different environment.
So I think, Mel, I love that. And there's some absolute pearls of wisdom there. So again, ladies and gents, please just go back and rewind the last 30, 40 seconds and have a listen to that. One last important question for you, Mel. And this is around managing risk, right? This is around managing risk. And with a plus one, you've got that strong relationship. Someone might be thinking, wow, am I going to build in key person risk into my business if I have that such a strong relationship with that one person? And the answer is probably yes, candidly. So how do you mitigate some of that risk? Because if a plus one were to leave, it would leave a big hole in the business. If you've got a really great relationship, and I'm not saying that they're going to necessarily leave through acrimonious situations. It could be that there's a change in family circumstances. Anything could happen, right? But how do you, firstly, do you think there's risk there? And then secondarily, what strategies could you put in place to try and minimize or mitigate that to an extent?
Sure. Yeah. Look, yes, I agree with you. There is risk there. But without risk, you don't get results. Okay. So yeah, that's the way I think of things.
100%. In life.
Yeah. And I think the risk will pay off. I think it would be very hard to have two or three plus ones in the business that work as well as one plus one. But what I'm saying is you can dilute the risk by making sure that the key tasks that that person does are known by others.
Mm-hmm.
But the risk is still going to exist in regard to the relationship that you have. So that risk will always be there. And I also think it's worth having a conversation and saying, look, if we're going to have this great plus one relationship, I need to know what your plans are. Now, I know plans can change, okay, but the owner needs to understand what commitment they have from the plus one.
Yeah.
What are the things that motivate the plus one? What are the things that would keep the plus one there working happily? What are the things that the plus one might need from the practice or the owner to really feel that they're making inroads and that the job works for them as well? So, yes, risk is there. You can mitigate risk by teaching tasks. It's very hard to teach or to have that relationship mitigated completely when it comes to risk. There won't always just be one plus one. I think there's, if you're replacing a plus one, you can do that. Once you've had one great plus one, I'm sure you can have others. But I think it's something that there will always be some type of risk around that.
Yeah.
And also too, for example, a plus one wouldn't walk out in a week.
No.
A plus has the sort of relationship where if there was a change in circumstance, that you'd be talking about how can we try and make this work or what can we do to make it work, as opposed to being someone who would leave in a week. Plus one would be talking through the changing circumstances with the owner and trying to work out a way to reduce that risk as well while they're in the job.
Yeah. Totally agree. And I love that point that you make, Mel, that there is always going to be risk there. And with that risk, without taking that risk, you're not going to accelerate your practice. So just to wrap things up, Mel, if a practice owner and their plus one really get this together and it's working brilliantly and well, what sort of results have you seen come about as a consequence of developing a great plus one relationship?
Oh, sure, yeah. So some of the results I've seen, well, firstly, the owner can concentrate on the high-end value work and the high-end thinking.
Yep.
So they're not muddied down in the weeds anymore because they're not looking over orders or they're not checking up on things. They've got that trusted person that's reporting to them on what's going on. So they don't need to look for the information they want about their business. The information is there for them. So they can get their thinking up at that sort of 50,000 feet level where they're thinking bigger and smarter and clearer. So that's one certainly success stories that I've seen multiple times over. The other thing is that the practice can accelerate faster. If you've got an implementer, if you've got a person that can execute on your behalf, then while you're in there treating those high-end value patients, you've got someone there executing all of the strategy and the business acumen that's needed to really push things along. Now, whether that's marketing or managing the team or managing performance of team members, but the accelerator is on in the practice. So the other thing is there's no time lag. So, for example, if you have an owner make a decision about something they want to implement, they don't have to do it themselves, they can communicate that to someone else, then there's no time lag between having that great idea or that great thought or bringing back that great idea from a conference and implementing it. You've got someone there that you can pass these things to all the time.
Mm.
So things happen a lot faster and the financial results are much clearer because, when you've got someone following up on your behalf with other team members and they're looking at the performance of other team members, then that is another way of making sure that you don't have to do it yourself. And when you don't have to do it all on your own, you've got a lot more energy, you've got a lot more capacity to do the things you want to do. And I've seen some practice owners reverse themselves out of the practice very, very successfully by having that plus one person there. And in particular, that plus one is there the days the owner isn't. So still that lovely, seamless performance from team members, because the plus one is looking after the interests of the owner. The plus one has the back of the owner, you know, they have their back.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And team members know that. So that driving force doesn't always have to come from the owner, which is exhausting. Right? It's exhausting. Yep. So it's great to be able to share some of these situations. So financially, yeah, the results can really shine through.
Yeah, I love that. So effectively, make some more money, have some more time, and have some less stress in your life is a bit of just to round it out there.
Sounds fantastic. Sounds very familiar to me. Yeah. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a well-used phrase, that one. Mel, you've been really generous with your time today. So firstly, on behalf of all our listeners, I want to say thank you so much for lifting the lid on some of the work that you do to help practice owners with their teams, with their plus one in particular. You add a tremendous amount of value to the clients that we work with, and I'm regularly receiving feedback that's really complimentary about the work that you do with them. And on a personal note, thank you for all the work you do to help and support me. It means the world.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you. That's beautiful. Thanks so much. I love it. I love working with you. You know that.
That's good fun.
And I love our clients too.
I love it too. All right, Mel, well, thank you so much, and we'll catch you when I get back to the office.
Okay, terrific. Thanks. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.